Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect, and a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! It's a grand slam!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
This hour is being brought to you by ComEd. Sign up for outage alerts at ComEd.com. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
So Bob Kendrick, the president of the Negro Leagues Museum, joining me here. Before you got to know Buck O'Neill and all of these great legends of the Negro League, who was your hero?
Henry Aaron, and he still is. No, Henry Aaron is my all-time favorite baseball player. And, you know, outside of my father, who was my first hero. But when we talk about sports, it's Henry Aaron. So as my childhood idol was catching them all in Atlanta, Fulton County Stadium, I'm catching them all in my mother's living room, jumping for joy. And so I'm reduced to that 12-year-old kid every time I'm around him. And so we had the chance to tour him through the museum for the first time in 1999. And Lawrence, is the only time I've ever been starstruck in my life. And we've had some remarkable people tour this museum. And with no disrespect to any of them, two American presidents in Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, former first ladies, Laura Bush, Michelle Obama, General Colin Powell, the list goes on. And with no disrespect to any of them, they not Henry Aaron in mine.
Make me a bicycle clown.
I'm with everyone that's like, you should have Bob on once a month. He is really, really terrific, and I'm glad that he had time to hang out and be on the show yesterday. Welcome in. I'm Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 2 o'clock today. We have a busy show today, and I'm excited about what we have planned for you. As far as guests go, Dr. Harry Edwards is going to join us at 1 o'clock. If you remember, on Friday, I was telling the story about the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City. Dr. Harry Edwards was an integral part of what happened in Mexico City. So we're going to talk to him about that, and we'll talk to him about how things have changed and how some have stayed the same. We will do that at 1 o'clock. Our buddy Rick Camp will join us at 1:25. I have a lot of things I want to talk to Rick Camp about. I want to talk to Tim about his basketball camp podcast, the I'm Fat podcast, and the butt-whooping that he got from Jay Zawoski when they did their fast food draft. I mean, it was an absolute slaughter. So I'm going to talk with Campy about that coming up at 1:25. The other thing that I want to get into today, and we'll do it in the next segment, I don't know if you heard the Tommy Hotovy interview, and if you didn't, I'm going to share it with you, but it is, if you ever wanted to get an idea of what it's like for someone to live through COVID, you're going to get an idea, and it's why I keep saying that there's a long spectrum of what happens. It isn't just, oh, well, you know, you don't die, so you can go out there and play baseball. Like, there's a lot that goes into this, and in some people, you could see the symptoms lingering for a long, long time. Some people are very lucky, and they end up not being able, they end up being asymptomatic and not having any problems. And this was not the case for Tommy Hotovy, and we'll get into that coming up in a little bit. There is baseball stuff to discuss today. People are starting to report. I saw a video of David Ross walking down the street and reporting to Wrigley Field. I saw Anthony Rizzo waving at fans as he's walking out of reporting. So we're now officially underway on the restart of baseball coming back. We are 3 weeks away from there being baseball played, if there's going to be baseball played. Hopefully that is the case, and it's something that we are going to talk about as the weeks go on. But this is also a day that marks a really fun and funny anniversary for people who like Bobby Bonilla, and not so funny for Mets fans, Mets ownership, or America at large, because the Mets were taken advantage of by a criminal named Bernie Madoff, and that's what played a role in Bobby Bonilla Day. If you're like, wait, what the hell are you talking about, Lawrence? Well, July 1st, every year, between now and 2035, Bobby Bonilla gets payment from the Mets worth $1.29 million from the Mets. So every year, he gets broke off. He may end up being the Mets' highest paid player this year. Bobby Bonilla, White Sox legend, who hasn't played baseball in, 19 years? He's 57 years old. And it's funny, but it's not funny, like how it all came to be. When you hear people talk about deferred contracts, this is what ends up happening on the back end of deferred contracts. You have a guy who hasn't played baseball in forever getting loot once a year until he's old and gray. So what, he's 57 now. We add 15 more years. He'll be 72, or the estate of Bobby Bonilla will be getting that final payment in 2035. I used to do a national show with Michael Kim, my buddy Michael Kim, over at Stadium Network. I loved working with Michael for a lot of reasons, and one of them was access. We had Steve Phillips as our baseball expert when I was doing stuff at Stadium. I've always found Steve to be pretty entertaining when we would talk to him on the air. But we used to bust his stones every July 1st because of the contract that was paid out to Bobby Bonilla. This is a conversation that we had with him last year, and where he explained exactly how the Mets got to the point where they were giving paper to Bobby Bonilla until 2035.
Steve, I don't know what might be left untold from this story, because it's been covered from just about every angle, because it's been just a fascinating story. Is there anything? What is still untold from this deal?
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is I only have 16 more years to get it brought up every year. Right? I've got only 16 more years that it's going to be an issue. I'll be 72 by then. I mean, my gosh. Now, you know, I actually reached out to Bobby to see if I could take out a loan, and absolutely not. But no, I didn't really. But, you know, I mean, listen, to go back to this and understand what it was, and is that, you know, Bobby Bonilla, we were going to release him. And instead of paying him the $5.9 million, ownership said, I wonder if we can defer it and then make money on his money. You know, give him a level of interest and then invest the money with Bernie Madoff. Now, remember, Bernie Madoff was very dear and close friends to Fred Wilpon, the owner of the New York Mets. They would vacation at times together. Madoff would go to, he went to Japan when we started the season in 2000 in Japan. He was at all of the opening day parties. And so he was around quite a bit. I heard his name, you know, every week every week for the 13 years I was in the Mets front office, I heard Bernie Madoff's name because he was part of an investment vehicle for the team. And so when we were deferring the money, the idea was, hey, Steve, go to the accounting department and see that if we pay out a certain level of interest, what we'd make off of Bonilla's money if the market did this or did that or bottomed out, you know, what would it take? How would it play out? And so the idea was not just to sort of defer the money for Bonilla, but to make money on his money. And some of the projections had us making as much as from $40 million to $65 million on his 5.9, deferring it out 10 years in an investment and then paying it out over 25. The idea was it was an investment vehicle for the team, that they'd make money on his money and he'd still get the benefit of it. So obviously the Madoff thing kind of blew up. We also did that with Mo Vaughn. We deferred some part of his contract too, $5 million deferred out. He paid him $10 million. But when he got hurt and couldn't play anymore, we collected insurance on the entire $15 million, even though we deferred $5 million out. And then we invested the insurance money in the Madoff fund, and they were going to make some money on that too. So it was a real investment vehicle for the Mets, and they absolutely had no idea what Madoff was doing, obviously. And it came back to bite them, and they were victimized as much as many other people were as well.
So the relationship between Bernie Madoff and the Wilpon family goes back decades. He's like Steve was saying, it goes back decades. And here's a quote from the New York Times. After Madoff is arrested for his $65 million fraud, 3 days before Mr. Madoff's arrest, there was a meeting of the board of the Gift of Life, a bone marrow donor registry. It was held in Mr. Madoff's office. His former secretary said Mr. Wilpon was there. In the days leading up to Madoff's arrest, Wilpon was still an associate of his. He wasn't the only one that got rooked. There are a lot of people. The Mets themselves had 16 different accounts with Bernie Madoff. 16 different accounts. Sandy Koufax got hit by investing money with Bernie Madoff. And it was one of the biggest Ponzi schemes in the history of American finance. And Bernie Madoff went to jail. Bobby Bonilla ends up being the beneficiary. And I know that there have been some financial people like, well, if you're taking a lump sum, $5.9 million, and put it in a mutual fund, the fact that he got 8% interest on it and he gets a payday every year, I think it's hysterical. And that even now at age 57, we celebrate Bobby Bonilla Day because he's still on the payroll. There's another aspect of this, too. So what ends up happening? I saw this morning as we chuckle at the Mets, even though they were part of what was a notorious crime. There's another part to this. So in 2000, the Mets defer Bobby Bonilla's contract, which would then pay him until 2035, from 2011 to 2035, every year on July 1st. With the available payroll that they had, they traded for Mike Hampton. Mike Hampton played for them and ended up being the National League Championship Series MVP. Okay? Hampton leaves as a free agent after that. Did he go to Colorado? Was that when he went to Colorado, Herbie?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Am I getting that right? When he got that big check from Colorado, I was like, what the hell? So he leaves there as NLCS MVP. They get a compensatory draft pick because Mike Hampton left during free agency. With that pick, they select David Wright, one of the best players in Mets history. Now, I'm not here to tell you that everything turned out great, because it didn't. It's just another part of the story, and that part of the story needed to be told. Herbie, what would you do if you woke up today and you had $1.2 million in the bank account, courtesy of the New York Mets, and you knew it wasn't going to get taken back?
Let's see, $1.2 million? I'd probably buy a nice spot, probably in San Diego, put a little down on that, have a spot.
Do I have to worry about you leaving the show again?
No.
Like, are you going to move back to San Diego, like,
yeah, eventually,
for real?
Eventually, yeah. When I'm old, you know, 60, 70, I'll move back. But, yeah, if I win the lotto, I'm going to go to San Diego, so.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, you know, I just.
If the Mets are just giving away money, I'll take it. I play just as well as Bobby Bonilla did in New York.
Wow. That's rough.
Didn't Hawk trade Bobby Bonilla?
I'm sure. Hawk did a lot of stuff when he was general manager of the White Sox. He did a lot of stuff. Move those fences back.
I'm just saying that Bobby Bonilla is not known more for his make your move, homie, where he's like challenging the writer in the locker room.
Oh, yeah. Someone texted in, and you can text the show via the text zone, which is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time and shop online at rosenhyundai.com. It says, remember the Cubs offered Hampton $105 million and the Rockies came with $123? Hampton said he picked Denver because of the school system. No, he didn't. No, you're right about that. Mike Hampton did not pick Denver because of the school system, and I'm sure that I wonder if he regrets going out there. So, yeah, I got the timeline right. He goes to pitch for the Mets, had a really incredible season for the Mets in 2000. A 3.14 ERA, pitched 217 and two-thirds innings that year. Was the Silver Slugger because, you know, he could hit and stuff. Even with that crazy, he had a crazy whip for a guy that had a successful season. 1.346 whip for Mike Hampton. Let me see what he hit before we get to other stuff that year. Because that is just crazy. Like, all of it is crazy. This whole story. All right, here we go. His batting in 2000. Holy crap. You want to take a guess what Mike Hampton's average was that year, Herbie? And remember, we're talking about a pitcher.
A good hitting pitcher? Is this the person that...
He's one of the best hitting pitchers of all time.
Okay, let's see.
But what his average was that year in 2000?
He's in Colorado or New York?
He's in New York.
Okay. I'm going to guess 287.
That's a pretty good guess. He hit 274 that year.
That's pretty solid.
His slash was 274, 313, 274.
Yeah.
An OPS of singles. 586. He didn't walk that year.
Lots of singles, friends.
He drove in 8 runs that season. He did walk 5 times that year. Would you like to take a guess on Mike Hampton's career slash line?
All right, so he hit 270 that year. I'm saying.
Oh, by the way, the next season, that he goes to Colorado, he hit 291.
But of course. All right, so he only spent a couple years in Colorado. So I'm thinking that the 274 was probably his best year as a Met before he went to Colorado, and then he exploded. So I'm saying like 267, 313, and 305.
You're not off. You're not far off by much. Mike Hampton in his 16-year career, this is phenomenal. 246, 294, 356. He was in an OPS of 650 for his career. That's almost 850 plate appearances and 725 at bats. For a pitcher, that's great. That's phenomenal work if you can get it. He hit 16 home runs in Major League Baseball.
Oh, and I was thinking myself, I was like, that's like Ray Sanchez. And I looked up Ray Sanchez's career slash. It's 272, 308, 334 for a 642 OPS, for a 69
wow.
OPS plus.
So Mike Hampton was a better hitter than a position player.
But Ray Sanchez, he's known for that first game, Interleague versus the White Sox. He had a great game. Dominated Jaime Navarro.
Hampton was an all-star twice, and he won Silver Slugger 5 times. He also had a gold glove in there, too. That's a pretty, you know what? That's a robust career. When you get the hitting awards, you get a fielding award, you're also a pitcher.